He deserves all your glory and honor. He deserves all the praises. Why? Because there is no God like Him. He's God. He's a great God. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. And He deserves all of our attention. Not just halfway, record. He deserves all our attention. Shall we stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Father, for this great atmosphere. Father, your presence is here. Father, and your children are under expectation, thirsting for righteousness. And Father, we have come to the fountain of life that flows within each other, Father. It will fill us with joy. It will fill us with joy, with peace. It will fill us with your presence, with love, with kindness, everything that we have need today, that presence can fill us tonight. Let's open our hearts and let Him sit in His rightful place and let it have His way in each one of us. Father, we thank you tonight. Take us a little deeper. Take us a little higher tonight. Father, we want to hear from you. Father, we thank you for your presence among your people. Father, but we want more. We want to hear from you tonight. We want to hear your voice tonight. Father, as much as we like your presence and as much as we rejoice in your presence, oh, we want to hear your voice tonight. Because that is the voice that is going to take us, Father, all the way through. That voice guide us and lead us. That voice, it will take us out of here one day. When we hear that voice, that trumpet, Father, we want to just sit at your feet tonight. We want to learn. Father, we want to understand. Father, give us revelation. We love revelation. Take us a little higher tonight, Father. Father, we thank you for what you are doing and you have done and you will do tonight. We are in expectation. Speak to our hearts tonight. And we ask you all these things. But also we want to add, we want our brother, Pastor, Lord, rest him. Give him peace, Father. Strengthen him. And give him good health, Father. Refresh him, Father. And if touch him, he needs a touch still from you. He needs strength, Father. He needs complete health. Father, and we know that you will supply all our needs tonight. Father, we come to you because you are the one and there's no other one like you. And you will not disappoint your children. You are an ever true God. And your word never come back in vain. It will do what it went out to do, Father. We love you and we thank you. And we continue blessing this servant, Father. Father, we going to open our hearts and bodies and minds and let you take the rightful place tonight. It belongs to you, Father. We ask you all these things, Father, in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you, musicians. Well, here I am again. And it's been a long, look like a marathon, you know, we're running a marathon. But it has to end sooner or later, that's a good thing. Everything has an end. Everything will come to an end. So when we suffer and we go through circumstances, remind yourself, this also shall pass. Nothing is forever. Everything here is temporary. We're just going to have to move forward, going through it, looking to the author and creator of us. Amen. So, yeah, Andy's still under the weather, and I'm a little stuffy. When the weather starts changing like this, you know, that's when I get sick. When it, you know, when the weather is normal, you know, it's either hot or cold. But when I start doing this transition, you know, I can take it. My body cannot take it because it's abnormal. You know, I like normality. You know, I like to be, you know, in a box, you know, secure, normal, you know. But when we get these weathers, you know, my body cannot take it. And even less when I get older. Because it's just an up and down, an up and down. One day it's high, one day it's cold. One day high, one day it's cold. Then my sinus start acting up. And the allergies start acting up. So I had to go to the doctor yesterday because from this sinus, if it stays there long enough, because that's what happens, it stays, they don't want to leave. They love me. You know, they think I'm going to adopt them like a pet, you know. So yeah, this virus thing that, you know, that they have a home and they're going to stay there forever. It's hard to get them out once it gets there. So I got an infection. The sinus, then it goes to my ear. It didn't go to my chest, but it went to my ear. So I woke up yesterday bleeding. My ear is bleeding. So I went to the doctor and said, take a look at that, see what's going on. I lost all hearing right now because when he looked at his fluid pressing the drum in the back. And also it's red and it's also, you know, infected. So that's what that blood and all that thing comes out. So I said, okay, devil, you're not going to stop me. I mean, I couldn't stay home. I had an excuse. I couldn't stay home. I could have called and said, you know, my ear hurt. I can't hear anyway. So whatever you preach, I'm not going to hear it. So I have an excuse. Oh, but you're a preacher. No, I got the same rights you got. Don't put me in no special place. We all the same. We have the same responsibilities and duty. We are not different. Just because. But, you know, whatever. Here we are. And if I'm going to pass out, I'm going to die. I die in the pulpit. You guys, you know, do whatever you need to do. Just don't bother me. Just do whatever you want to do. So, here we are. So, by the grace of God, you know, he's my strength. And we're not going to make it to today again. So, you know, without him, you know, I depend on him every day. When you get older and older and older, you start depending more. Why? Because you can't depend on your body anymore. Your body gets weaker, weak, weak, but he gets strong, strong, strong. So we're going to read a portion of scripture from 1 Kings 19, 9 and 13. So I have endured this far, but I hope you have endured me this far too, by the way. It works both ways. Amen. So, shall we stand just quickly just to read this piece of scripture? And he came tighter unto the cave, that's talking about Elijah, and lodged there. You know, after all this that happened with the 400 prophets and the violence and the thing that went on there, and the victory also, it was violent, but it was victory. You know, here we got Elijah running. When that unction left him, he's running. He says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Interesting, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what thou hear, Elijah? So, we're going to talk a little about this, but every time that God comes to prophets, even to anybody, God has a question. I want you to look at this. God always asks you a question. God will not tell you what to do, but the question requires the right answer. And in that answer is what you need. What good is the question if you don't have the right answer? But the same one that asks you the question, it will speak to him. God speaks to himself through you. See, so don't worry, because the one that lets you go through this has also the answer and the solution for your problem. Amen. Be still, you know, and know that he's God. Let's not get all bent out of shape like Elijah, see, because we do that too. Like me, I rehearse things in my mind. This is going to happen. It don't happen. Be still. Be still. And he says, come, and he says, what dost thou hear? And he said, I have been very jealous for you, Lord. You know. So the question was, what do you hear? Now the question, it wasn't, you know, well, are you hearing me? You know, God is not asking you. God knows what is in your mind. He don't need to know. You need to know. The only reason of this questioning is because you need to know. Not God. God's already know. He knows the answer of the question. What does that hear? And he said, this is how he answered. I have been very jealous. It was the confession. That's what God is looking for. When God comes to you and speaks to your heart, he asks you a question. But he wants a rightful answer, a truthful answer. Not make excuses. The reason he was in that situation was because I have been very jealous for thee, Lord, God of hosts. And that's true. For the children of Israel have forsaken my covenant, thrown down thy altars and slain the prophets with the sword. And I have, even I only, am left. And they seek to my life to take away. This is his answer. I'm running because I'm the last one left. How do he know that he was the last one left? That's why he was in that position, because he thinks he was the last one left. God answered a question because he needed for him to hear his answer. The reason you are in that depression mode, the reason you are there is because, see, you think. That's the problem. We think too much. That wasn't God thinking. That was his thinking. And my thinking gets me in trouble all the time. So he says, listen, he says, then the Lord said, and he said, go forth and stand up on the mount before the Lord. Now, God didn't say, I told you so. See how many times I had to. Well, you deserve that. No, God never do that. God always come in the small, still voice. And we ask you a question. Moses was asked a question. He says, why are you crying to me? Now, he know he was crying. He needs to know. The person needs to know why he's doing what he's doing. See? And be truthful to God in the answer. Elijah said, go forth, God said, and stand up on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passes by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rock before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a small, still voice. A gentle voice. It's a lot of noises out there. You know. And after the earthquake, it came small, still voice. And it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He covered himself. The presence of God, that he knew that was God. And went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and says, what thou hear? Tonight you came to church, and I'm going to ask you the same question at the end. What thou hear? Amen. Can we be seated? I'm going to ask you that question. Probably I can ask two people that question, and one says, oh man, it was a great sermon. God spoke to me. That's what I really, really needed. And the other one said, I don't know. I didn't get anything out of it. You can be in the same service, and God can speak through the word of God. One heard a voice, and the other one didn't hear a voice. What's up with that? We should all be here to hear the voice of God. How do I know they didn't hear the voice? Because they continue in the same way. You can never hear the voice of God and still continue the same way. Not to Elijah, not to Moses. You cannot hear the voice of God and remain doing the same thing. That's why God asked you the question. So you will not remain. That God will change your ways. And the Lord been speaking lately, not through me, through the ministry. Years, months. And I hate to say this, but sometimes I don't see changes. I'm not here to, you know, I'm not the one that checks changes at the door. No, I'm not saying I'm monitoring your changes, but I want you to think. What have changed? If you heard the voice of God taking you higher and higher and higher, then are we still in the same place, or we are coming up closer and closer to the goal? Because the closer and closer you come to the goal, things have to change. You cannot be the same person that was here, not the same person. Oh, God knows your heart. Amen. This journey is a faith journey. And we go from glory to glory to glory to glory. God is changing us from glory to glory to glory. Every time we come to church, the voice of God will change you. If you don't hear the voice of God, there will be no change. The only one can do it. The only one can change your life is Him. Anything else, it is a disadvantage to you. Everything else will not work out. It has to be only one and one thing, and it has to be the voice of God. I'm not against, you know, fire. I'm not against the storm. I'm not against, you know, all this stuff that happened. I love those things. The only problem is that the voice was not there. I like to enjoy a good service. I like to run. I like to jump. But when my feet hit the ground, I better hear a voice, because I'm going to remain the same thing. Nothing is going to change. I'm just going to have fun. And that's nothing wrong to have fun. But there has to be a point that you grow up. Children have to grow up. And I think we come into an age, yeah, of maturity. There's no more children. I've been in these years now. We're getting closer, closer than we were 2,000 years ago. Like Paul says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But we are not a child any longer. We have matured. We have grown up. We became grown up men and women, the bride of the Lord. So how can we be acting like childs? There's nothing wrong. I like to have fun and play with children. I like to run around. Brother Beryl likes to play with children. But he's not relying on that as the voice of God. Well, look at how good I am with children. Oh, I have a gift. Fine. But he's not relying on that. And I'm not relying, you know, on the fire. When that brother comes to preach, wow, he is a fireball. You know, I mean, this good preaching here. We have good preaching. Yeah, but that brother Eli, he's a little bit, you know, cold, and not cold, but I mean, compared to the guy with all the heat, you know, and all the fireballs, he can make an ice glass cry, like Brother Doug says. You're a little bit too formal and a little bit too. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. Because if you don't hear from God, it will not matter who you're listening at. You can go and chase storms. You can go and chase revival. You can change preacher. But if you don't hear the word of God, it's just as good as nothing. No wonder we come back and then we go again and we come back, because nothing has changed. You're still the same. Something has to happen, and what had to happen, you need to listen to the voice of God through the word of God and the revelation. That is the only thing going to get you out of here. Anything else, it's going to get you out of here, but not that way. See, because we continue chasing. What's the next thing? What is the next greater thing? What is the next revival? What is the next meeting? Man, then we're just chasing, but nothing changed. Oh, but I have fun, and I have good preaching. I'm not doubting that. I'm not doubting that at all. But what did he do to you? What did you hear? What did you hear? You know, sooner or later, we had to stop running up and down and being children and grow up like adults and take responsibilities. I'm not scolding anybody. I'm just telling you that that's the way is presented to us. He says, and behold, there came a voice unto him, and he said, what dost thou hear? Coming to church, when you leave here, you better hear something. You better take the opportunity and the chance to hear something. If now we just came and we had a good service and we have fun, good, we'll do it next weekend. I don't mind, but I want to be changed. That's my goal. I want to hear God because I need Him, because I want to change. Nothing wrong with the fun. Brother Mark says, the unchangeable God. When he pulled back in the cave, there came an earthquake outside that shook the cave where he was sitting. There comes a mighty rushing wind. There comes thunder, lightning, blowing, and it was all God. See, God is in all that. God is in nature. You know, we are not trying to say that we don't believe in that, and I'm not passing any judgment. You know, he says, but it didn't attract the prophet. So, you know, it's a lot of noise, and sometimes attracts some people, not all the people, and they're running after the noise. The only thing that will attract my soul tonight is to hear from God. Anything else, I'm not going to say it's a waste of time, but anything else, maybe it's needed, but not sufficient. He says, and it was all God, but it didn't attract the prophet. See, and it didn't touch him somehow. You know, I'm not saying it was a good preaching. We scream, we yell, we run. I'm not saying that, you know. I see churches broken that way. They get a good preacher in, and he's just thunder and fire and a storm. And next thing we know, people start following that preacher. It happened. I don't want to mention name, but it happened. I've been in this message long enough. And then they take and leave the families, and once they get there, they separate, they leave, they don't have a plan. God neither spoke to them. They think that God did. And when they get there, things start happening. I know, because I even have a close relative. That happened to them too. So where was the voice in that? Well, sometimes it's too late to find out that there was no voice in that. But see, you need to discern that. But I'm going to show you how can you discern that. This is what the whole thing is. First thing, if God speaks to you, he brings a question. He don't come to you to tell you what you need to know. But he's going to make you aware of what you need. And you will know. He says, but he waited. See, sometimes that's what we have to do. Be still and wait on God. Had the whole phone, but be still now. Be still, children. It is time to hear Papa talking now. Yeah. It's time to hear the word of God. Be still and wait on him. Yeah. And way down inside of him come a little still voice. That attractor. Oh, it got his attention, huh? You know, if God speaks to my heart, it will get my attention. How can God talk to you and don't get your attention? You know, I talk to people in this message throughout the years, and people outside too in the denominations, I ask them one question to start the conversation. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Some reply, well, I am waiting on to receiving the Holy Ghost. Okay. How long is that? Well, I don't know. Okay. So in the meantime, we are going to wait for God. That's a good plan. But I always tell them, the day that you make your mind that you want it, you get it. But that's your idea. So I asked some other, did you get the Holy Ghost? Well, let me see. Mainly the people in the denomination, did you? I said, God came and spoke to your heart. And you don't remember what he said, and you don't remember where, and you don't remember the day. I mean, what kind of a God is that? The God of creation, powerful God, comes and speaks to your heart with a still voice, and you don't remember what he tells you? Wow, what kind of a God is that one? What happened? You never heard the voice. Because I heard that voice. I told you about my experience having the Holy Ghost. I heard that voice, and that voice spoke to the word of God, because the word is his voice. And I had this this when I was a Baptist, I always lean on to that scripture in John's. I didn't bring it with me, but it says, do not be, you know, drunken with wine. Because it's a dissipation, it's a dissolution. But be filled with what? With the Holy Ghost. That scripture, in that day, it was fulfilled. Because I knew what a drunk man do. And I started like a drunk. Like I lost my house. Like a drunk. He gets lost. 2 hours later, I found my house. But see, when God speaks to you, things happen. There's no way God can speak to you and you continue the same way. There's no way. He says, but this time he felt the presence. Now here's the difference. In the other ones, you know, we are feeling the presence of God. It's an anointing. We're feeling the anointing of God. And the anointing is good. Nothing against the anointing. It's real. You know, the Pentecostals went after the anointing. That's what happened. They rely on the gifts. They rely on the anointing. I had a good time at church. Everything must be peachy. Let's go home. If that's what you're relying, that you heard from God Sunday, no, you had a good time, and that's good to come and have a good time. But that, he says, but this time he felt his presence. And still, small voice speaking into his heart. So we can jump, we can run all we want to, but when our 2 feet hits the ground, I want to know what God spoke to your heart. Then the prophet rise up and went out to the end of the cave. After this great victory of Elijah, he was tired. He was wore out. He was a nervous guy, just like me, just like Brother Doc. I don't know, but people that come in the ministry, we are very sensitive. We are very nervous. I am. We are very anxious. You know? And he was like that. He was worn out. He was at the end of what that body could even provide for him. He was hungry. I don't know when he ate. But he just finished a great battle. And when that unction is gone, the body is just like it was working for 3 days in a row without eating. Because God will sustain you. But once that just goes, God can sustain like he sustained Jesus for 40 days and 40 hours. Figure out, he didn't eat. Wow. Amazing. I cannot go one day without eating. But see, it's a different story when that presence comes. See? Everything will change. Then the prophet rise up and went out to the end of the cave. See? So God then shows Elijah that after all that great battle, and after all that thing that happens, that, you know, it's a use for it. It's needed. We need to have fun. We need to, you know, like children's in the park. You take your children and you tell them loose and have fun. Then you call them back, come on, let's sit down. Now we're going to teach you something. We're going to learn. There's time for that. But it's also time for teaching. He says, and there's benefits. See? It's benefit coming to church and have fun and feel the presence of God. But to hear the voice of God in our hearts is better, you know, than the rest. To hear the voice of God has better benefits than the running. You know that the Bible says, you know, that exercise profit little. So that's a scripture. That's not doing exercise out there in the treadmill. They're not talking about that. The context is in the Bible. What he's talking about, that the exercise of running, shouting, running, profits little. At least it profits something. And I'm not telling you not to do it. It will profit for you. Being in the presence of the Lord. But ultimately, what you want to hear is the voice of God. Because that's a lasting thing. See, exercise just temporarily, for a moment. for the voice of God. Now, don't tell me. Don't push me to one end and say, okay, see, that's what I agree. All this shouting and all this. That's what I want to hear, the voice of God. Really? You want to put yourself in that corner? That you hear the voice of God and everybody else not? Or that you're wrong and you are right? Do you want to put yourself in that corner? You know, you should let yourself loose sometimes and enjoy the service. Because maybe that's all you're going to get. Because with that kind of attitude, let's not judge, because God is in all. And you don't know who you're judging, and you don't even know if that's God moving. Who's died and put you as a God, as a judge? So be careful. But that's why I don't do this, because I know I hear this. Be careful. Don't put yourself in that condition. Just leave things alone. If you don't understand something, leave her alone. Until God will explain it to you. Ephesians 14:15. Well, I'm not going to read that one. So this is a small voice. It's a gentle voice. God has a gentle voice, sweet and gentle voice. If you hear from God, it won't be rough. He's not going to scold you. It's going to be such a sweet and gentle voice. See? God don't come and say, I told you so. When he went, found Adam, he's hiding. He didn't say, did I tell you not to eat on that tree? You knucklehead. Why don't you just obey me? Everything would be fine. No. Well, he says, where art thou? Question, where art thou? Oh, God knew where he was. The question wasn't for God. The question was for Adam. Look at the condition you are now, where you have put yourself. Where art thou now? Hiding. He wanted him to understand the answer that would lie in him, what he did. And when he answered back finally, it wasn't the question, rightful answer. He says, I was afraid and I hid. Okay, hey, that was the answer. Sometimes we make excuses and we make answers. You know, I'm a victim. You know, this. It wasn't me, it was her. You know, I'm just a victim of the situation. Oh, it's not my fault, it's the pastor. You know, we find a way. When God starts speaking to us, things change. But he gave the wrong answer. So, God spoke in a small, still voice, sweet and gentle, to Adam as well, as a question. God talked to also Moses. Why are you crying to me? He didn't say, you crying again? My God. No, God will not ever judge you. He will never point a finger at you. He will never make you feel bad or less than what you are, a son of God. God will address you with respect, and you should address everybody else with respect. God says, okay, Moses, why are you crying to me? He needed to understand why he was crying to God. Now, God knew why he was crying, but he needed to be crying to God about the whole thing. So, Moses also, and Abraham, can you put this 62:01-21 message? It's a short one. I'm jumping a few things. I don't need to. I'm not going to take too much time. And that sea shall possess the gate of the enemy, Brahman said. Then Abraham walked right up to there, to the boys. Well, that's a different attitude. Because Adam hid from the boys. See, when you really want some answer, you don't run away from God. You want to run to God. Even when you do things wrong, like Adam did, you don't need to go and hide and feel bad about it. And I'm not good. And I don't want to go to church. In fact, you should run to church. You should run to God. And you should ask your brothers and sisters to pray for you and help you out. Because this is where the help is at. We are a body. And God put gifts to help each other, not to run away from church. So where was so-and-so this week? I don't know. Running. Excuses, running away from God. Because if you have a problem, this is the way God is going to address your problem. But you say, no, he can do it at home. How that is working so far? I haven't seen no change. How that is working so far? We are missing something. Run to God. Don't run away from God. And admit, I was wrong. Not like Adam. Adam hid and said, it wasn't my fault. See? Abraham right up to the voice. And it's still a small voice of God. To the word of God. Must take the life of his own son. Now, I don't think God is going to ask you to take the life of your children. I mean, you could have done it a long time ago, but you know, they irritate you sometimes and they make you feel crazy sometimes. You want to take them. Calmate, muchacho. But God is not going to ask you to keep your children. Don't worry about it. God is not going to ask you to do something that is outside the word. But this was a test, though. This was a test. And the same voice that told him what to do is the same voice that stopped that knife. God will not allow you or a child to destroy another child. But it was a test. Sometimes we get to that point. Sometimes we get to a point that, you know, we want to sometimes, you know, think about suicide thoughts. Or sometimes we think about worse thoughts. I don't know what's worse than that. But some people have come to that point. I have come to that point. I wasn't in the message. Brother Doug has come to that point. We have come to that point. Because Satan will try to destroy you before you get the truth. If I would have died in Vietnam, if I would have died in that time that I was entertaining those thoughts, because I have PTS, I have nervous condition, nervous breakdown, I came out of the army worse than I went in. Because I was already nervous wrecked. And I didn't know why. I was scared of my own shadow. And when I came out of there, I came even worse than I went in. And Satan tried his best to destroy. But he couldn't. Because he cannot destroy a son of God. He can try what he wants. So, this gentle breeze. It says over here, Job 4:16. He says, I stood still. We need to stand still sometime. Stop shouting. Stop talking. Start listening. It will do you better than all the talking we do. But I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before me, see, of my eyes. There was silence. See, and I heard a voice saying, see, here goes the voice again. I'm giving you just three. This is another one. Ask a question. Are we onto something or not? I don't know. I don't want to make a doctrine or anything, but I'm saying. It's again, it's interesting. He asks a question. Every time the small voice comes, he says, shall a mortal can be more just than God? See, because he's talking to Job, and Job is trying to wonder what's going on after he had done what he had done, you know? And he don't understand what went on. Shall a mortal man be more just than God? God knows what's going on. People want to blame God for every disaster that it is, for everything that happens, for every situation. They want to blame God. Shall a man be more pure than his maker? I give you the answer of those questions in another preaching. But I just want to show you, when you hear that small voice, what follows is a question. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, and I will exalt among, and I will be exalted among the hidden, and I will be exalted in this earth. Now Job again had more experience than just that one. In Job 38:1 says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. See, he had heard the voice of God in the thunder, in the whirlwind, in the storm. See, and it says that God approached him that way. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with all that thundering. Brother Branham says nothing wrong with it. But they not attracted the prophet. But God chose, and he chose that way also. Who am I to tell you that it won't work? Or that we should not listen? I'm not the one. You are the one that need to discern. You know? Because out of the today, there's too many voices. And it's too many wind on doctrines. And if you're not careful, you follow the breeze, the sweet and wind. Because Satan knows how to imitate. And that's why we follow these winds and these doctrines. And then it comes to church, and half of the church is gone. But see, Brother Brown says that's okay. Because sometimes the church needs cleaning. I don't want to see nobody go, but sometimes the church needs cleaning. And this wind of doctrines, and then we think that's God. Because we have no discernment. We think that God spoke to my heart and says, I know his will. And whoop, there you go. You know, a few months later, you know what happened. Things don't work out. And the poor person is, or the poor brother or sister, they are in the world because they don't want to come back and face. You know, I prefer just to come and face my wrongdoings and get everything back right and get restored than to be wandering in the world. Because now I'm wandering from place to place and to find what? I'm not going to find anything. Usually, Brother Branham told some of the people, he says, why don't you go back where you left them? You're not going to find it. Just come back and make things right where you left them. He's still there waiting for you. Because people don't want to do that. Too proud. So Job here, God asked him a question. In Job 38, 2, he said, who is that darkness, the counsel? See? The whirlwind came, and he says, who is that darkness, the counsel, by words without knowledge? So he has another question. This time in the whirlwind. So God can choose to do that. Yes? I'm not here to tell you that he won't speak that way to you. However, he says, knowledge without knowledge. Who is that darkens the counsel? Some people want to give you the interpretation of the word. This is what it means. What they do in the darken, you know. The knowledge. You know, knowledge. If we don't have knowledge, you know what that means to us, revelation? The knowledge, the understanding. If we don't gain understanding and revelation and more revelation and grow, we are just like the Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark was in dry land going nowhere. And when you don't have any knowledge, you know what we are? We're just in dry land on a boat sitting waiting for the water to come. That means all dressed up and no place to go. So they said. Knowledge, God will change you through his revelation. And if he do, you will not stay in the same place you were. Never. You will move. Amen. Knowledge, understanding will move you. Because he has to change you. God cannot send a word out to you and leave you the same way. Impossible. God cannot lie. He said that will happen. It will happen. Amen. So I will not take no less than the word of God. And I want to move forward. God speak to my heart. I want to move forward. I don't want to be in the dry boat out there waiting for the 120 years they were in that boat. But the word of God came true. So he says, who is that darkness the counsel by words without knowledge? That's a question he asked also. Job, in his condition. Now, let's go and jump right away to the New Testament to see this work or not. 4 John 3:8. Jesus was talking to one of the rabbis. He says, the wind blows what is listed. He was telling them about the Holy Ghost, you know, Yes. So he says, the wind blows where he listed. Wherever he wants to go, he goes. You have no control of God, but God has control of you. So don't try to control God. Impossible. So stop. Stop making plans. Stop trying to justify action. Let's find our answers in the Word, and let's justify ourselves with the Word, and let's do that. It says, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So it's everyone that is born of the Spirit. See? And that's what happened in the day of Pentecost. When you have the Holy Spirit will guide you in such a way that you don't even understand. And nobody else hears that. He leads you, he guides you. See? And he's the only one that knows. And he wants us to trust him. See? In every step of the way. That's what happened. So now, God is guiding us. Now we don't have to hear a voice. At here or at there. Now he is here. I think he had the great plan. I think that's the greatest plan. If I was a king of a country and I have subjects, you know, and I want them to do, you know, what I know is right for them to do. I'm the king. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. What is the best way to do this one? Because Jesus was with them 3 years and he spoke to them and they never got it. So speaking to someone, you don't know if they do or they don't. But Jesus said, I got a better idea. Amen. What about if I go away and then I come back? In you, I got you, and I will control you, each one of you individually, and not a big voice, you know, a big sound, far from heaven. No, you know, we don't have to do that any longer. We don't have to rely on that. You see, God needs to speak to you, because that is the way he's guiding you. There's no other way. There's no other choice. That's what the Holy Spirit was given. To guide us and lead us and show us all things. See, God is so perfect. He says, I know how I'm going to lead them. I better lead them from inside than from outside. Because outside, they don't listen. They didn't listen. Sadducees, the Pharisees, they didn't listen. They didn't understand. But God said, I got a better idea. What about if I control all of you guys individually? Since I am God and there's only one God, you guys will be doing exactly what I want as a body. And nobody will be out of character. Everybody will be in harmony because it's just one control tower. The Holy Ghost in me, the Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Ghost that speak to me, the Holy Ghost that speak to you. And the Bible said, you don't have no need to no one to teach you. Because you got the Holy Ghost, and the same Holy Ghost here speak to your Holy Ghost, and your Holy Ghost says amen. Not to your mind, to your Holy Ghost. Amen. Speak to your heart. God is speaking to your heart, and you say amen, so be it. He's not speaking to your mind. That's what happened to the disciples. Quickly. Acts 22:6-8. Let's talk about Paul. And before I jump to Paul, let's talk about Peter. Peter got in trouble. He denied the Lord 3 times. Peter lied. Peter cursed. You know, he went in a spree. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. So what happened was, as soon as Jesus came back from the dead, and the first word he asked for Paul was what? Question. Oh, I told you was going to deny me. You did not believe me, but I knew you was going to do that, Peter. I know your heart. I know where you are. No, he says, do you love me? That was the question when he spoke to him. Do you love me? When God comes to you, he asks you a question. See, he will give you the answer. He will come within you. He says, Peter says, God, you know, I love you. He has to do it 3 times because he denied him 3 times. We know the story. The thing that I'm trying to tell you is, here goes the question. God knows that Peter loved him. He needs to know. You need to know what God has put in you. You need to know the things that you go through. It is the mercy, the grace of God. So you know what God has placed in you. And how you're going to know if nothing happens to you. Everything is for your own benefit. And if you fall and you make a mistake, God will come and say, a question. Do you love me? Sure, the Lord. You know, I told you about that incident. It's not the only one. I had gone through this many times. About the tunnel that I was going to go to New York. You wasn't here, but that was most of you are here. That I start fabricating this, you know, start rehearsing the scenario. You know, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. When this happens, I'm going to do this. Oh, my God. Anyway, nothing happens anyway. But, you know, so the Lord comes to me. He don't rebuke me. You know why? He asked me a question. Remember what I did for you here? Jesus. And you remember here? You see, he don't scope. He just asked me a question. Well, the same God that helped you here, the same God that helped you here, the same God that did for you. That's what happened to David. Same God that delivered him from the, you know, helped him with the lion and with the bear. It's the same, you know, God that is going to deliver him from Goliath. You know, he didn't have to worry about it. He didn't have to rehearse. I don't know how this fight is going to go. What am I going to do? Huh? Maybe I can just run and kick his knee. I mean, he might fall. I don't know. We start rehearsing. You know? But what happened if he swings his thing? Oh, I just go down, you know, some kind of a camp food thing and I get away from him. No. See, we like to do that because we want to be in control. We hate to lose control. But we lose our control and give it to him. God is in control tonight. And you have to lose yours. Because God cannot control you when you're trying to control yourself. Impossible. It came to pass that he made a journey. Paul, he says, it was come night unto Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light. He was to persecute the church. Yeah. That was his mission, commanded to do so, and put him in jail and kill them. He says, but he going to Damascus, and a light came round about me, says, and I fell onto the ground. And he heard a voice. He heard a voice. The rest of the soldiers behind him didn't hear a voice. They saw the light, but they didn't hear a voice. Because God was not speaking to them. God is speaking individually, personally to Paul. And tonight he's speaking personally to each one of you. And I maybe don't hear what he's speaking to you, and you will not hear what he's speaking to me. But when he speaks to me, I know. That I know that I know he spoke to me. He says, and fell onto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul. Well, I don't know if I'm wrong again, but here's a question. Why thou persecute me? Well, he knew he was persecuting me. He needed to know why he's you doing this to me. It wasn't for God's benefit, for his benefit. The question was to bring him to an awareness. Why thou persecute thou me? And he answers. See? God says, why are you persecuting me? Me. So that was the right answer. So who are you? The perfect answer to the right question. If a question don't have the perfect answer, the question means nothing to nobody. You have to have one perfect answer to a perfect question. There's not two. See, people like to have two or three interpretations of the same thing. There's just one interpretation to God's word, not two, not three. So he says, okay, so who are thou? See, you got my attention. So who are thou? And he said unto him, I am Jesus Nazareth, that persecutest. And God, in fact, that is still doing the same thing today. He's leading our lives. See, he does all these natural things that happen in our life. Sometimes God comes in such a simplicity, and he do. Brother Branham, please, simplicity, that we even miss him. Just kind of goes over our head. See, God wants to lead us. God wants to guide us. But sometimes it becomes too natural. See, I want to hear the fire from heaven, but God is speaking to your heart, and it's just going. Oh, but if God is going to talk to me, that's not the way. Oh, my goodness. Who died and make your God now that you know everything? How can you figure that one? Can you bring that to pass for me, please? You have that much power? So what happened is sometimes it's, the things are so simple. So simple. You know, we're looking for the next great thing. When God is speaking to us in simplicity. See, we're looking for the next big thing, the next. People see him looking for the next revival in this message at this time. Looking for the next revival. Looking for the next big thing. But the next big thing is already in your heart. The next revival is already in your heart. Everything that you have needed is in your heart. And we're missing it. Because our eyes are not focused. Our eyes are not on Christ. All I'm saying is, either we are going to start, you know, figuring out how God speaks to you. Because if that don't happen, you will not get out of here. Because at the end of the rapture, you need to hear his voice. He's going to tell you, ready, let's go. So this is not an option. Either you start hearing that voice and understand and make sure that that is God. How you know? Because every time that God speaks, it happens. If something that speaks to you and don't happen, that's not God. Learn. The only way out of here is that his voice. Brother Brown says here, 3:17, he says, God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing himself in the same. When Elisha was back in the cave, the smoke went across, blood, thunder, lightning. See, all this kind of situation we had, blood and face on the hand and sensations and everything, it never bothers the prophet. He just lay there till he heard a still small voice. What was it? The word. You come to church and you hear the word. And it's not this tall, you know, this tall and ugly guy talking to you. If that's what you want to hear, that's what you're going to hear. But God is talking to you. See, he says, the sensation and everything, he never bothers the prophet. He just lay there until he heard that small voice, the word. So when you come, do you hear the voice of God tonight? Because the word is his voice. It says, then he covered his face and walked out. See, influence. And he went. One time in the Bible, we have an example of that. There was a prophet went back into the cave, and Elijah, and God was trying to attract his attention. And you know that God trying to get your attention tonight? Amen. By the preaching of the word. Amen. It's not me. God is wanting your attention. That's awesome. That a God so great, so mighty, wants your attention. Amen. That God so great and so mighty, creator of heaven and earth, wants to talk to you. Amen. That God, that great, loves you and he wants to care for you. And he wants to love you. Amen. Tonight. But he wants you to listen. He says, and then, when example of that, there was a prophet and back in the cave, Elijah, and God was trying to attract his attention. You know, I think sometimes we take it wrongly. You know, the word trying to talk to you and trying to get your attention, and you think we're trying to pick on you. I talked to a guy back, not here, so you know he's not here, and not in Tucson, in another state. I asked the guy, you know, nice brother. He won't go to church. His wife won't go to church because he don't go to church. His children, at least his grandparents take him to church, at least. I'm praying that will do some good because, you know, the sample is the father anyway. They have more influence. They don't understand the influence they have in their children. But they're still praying that God is greater than your influence. So I was talking to him and says, and I quoted that scripture, you know, do not forsake the assembly, you know, more than in that day that is approaching. We are so close. And he says, you know what's the problem with you guys? Yeah, I want to know. You know, if I have a problem, I want to know. Thank you. You guys have the wrong interpretation. That's not what that means. Well, he never told me what it was, but he told me you got the wrong one. Oh, I see. So now who died? The prophet died, and you become the prophet now to tell me that that is not the right interpretation of the Bible to begin with. Second, you don't need a pastor, so you don't need to be tithing. You don't need a body. You don't need the gift. I mean, I can go on and on and on. God set it up that way, and you're telling me now that you're going to sit there and make a judgment call that you don't need that when God said you need it. You know, I said, okay. So he sat there. Nice fellow. I'm praying for him. Nice fellow. And now, not everybody believes those kind of win or doctrines. It's just a win or doctrine. So he's in Facebook trying to draw a what? A crowd. People that have itching ears to hear what he has to say. So misery loves company. I know he's miserable. He's miserable. He cannot tell me he's happy. I know he's not. I can't see him. I see his face. But he won. He won. And that's one of his things. You guys don't know. Oh, so you are the prophet's interpreter now? He died and he left you in charge of telling us what he really meant? So what do I need my Holy Ghost for? Anyway, it's just a side thing. God wasn't even in it. But when that still small voice, he says, well, let me start from the beginning. I don't know where I start. God was trying to attract the attention, yeah, to come out. And there come the fire and the smoke and the blasterous winds across the mountain and the thunder and the earthquake and the shaking and everything else. And the prophet never moved. And that's what talking to this guy, you know, I don't care. I won't move. I don't care how many fire come down from heaven. That is not the right wind of doctrine to me. Elijah didn't move. Listen, my friend, I don't have to fuss. I don't have to argue. I know what I believe, and I believe in it, and I don't have to justify myself to anybody. The only one that I have to be acceptable is to God. And he already accepted me. So I don't have to fuss. I don't have to argue that you're wrong and I'm right. The prophet said the same thing. This message is not to be arguing. When he told me what he told me, I left it there. That's not my battle. That's God's. I pray, maybe somebody else, not me, come and talk some sense into him. He said, and when that still small voice covered his face and came forward, when the still small voice of God's word speaks, not a racket, not our big denomination, not our big something, but the still small voice of the word that's looked over, that should call a man to repentance. God is his word. Every time God spoke to these prophets, Paul, Peter, it was a question. So they can be aware of the situation and they can repent. You know, but we are so proud sometimes God speaks to us and tell us and we don't want to follow through and repent and make things right. Well, I got to read a couple of more. We're going to be done here before 9. Okay. He said, the Spirit of God come down to the still small voice and direct you right straight to Calvary. If you hear a small voice and don't lead you back to the word, you got the wrong voice. Take the word of God, the voice that you heard, and run it through the Bible because that is his word and his voice is his word. Put it through the filter of the word. Okay. And if it's lined up with the word, God has spoken to you. So let's stop justifying ourselves and making excuses and making this and that. Because if I run that through the Bible, it's not going to work out anyway. The Spirit of God comes down, the still small voice, and direct you right straight to Calvary. See? Right straight to repentance. If God speaks to you, the first place to go is, God, I am sorry. God, do not forsake me, instead of Adam saying that. Well, you know, it's that woman you gave me. I'm just a victim of the situation. No, if God speaks to you, you run to, you know. But no, we don't want to run and make things right. With God first, always. And God Christ, he's sealed by the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. Straight to Calvary, where we are dead and our lives are hidden God through Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost. Then the word alone lives here, there. Then if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be given unto you. There's the difference. We were talking about speaking to God. We were talking about Joshua speaking to the sun. We were talking about speaking to the mountain. Here is your secret. Then if you abide in me, you stay with his word. Stay with his word. And my word in you. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be given unto you. Because if God speaks to you, you cannot fail. In fact, if God speaks to you, that is the right word for you. That is the right answer to your problem. And it will come to pass if we can believe it. There is the difference. That if God speaks to you, it has to happen. If it don't happen, God did not speak to you. It was just a figment of your imagination. Again, the thing of it is, like I was saying last night, the Pentecostals are waiting for a rushing mighty wind in the next revival, the next movement, the next great thing. But they fail to hear the still voice. It says, but they fail to hear the still voice. See, that is wrong to do those things. They think as long as the wind is rushing, it's all right. That's what they think. See? What happened with the Pentecost was that they relied too much in sensation. They relied too much in the gift. They relied too much in, if that don't happen, God did not speak to me. See? And we can, if we're not careful, we can come to the same position. We rely too much in the commotions, in the, it's good. I'm not saying God is not in the, God is in that. But we don't rely that as being the word of God. Just God giving you a time of refreshment, you know? And I want it too. But once the time of refreshment comes and he has strengthened you and the atmosphere is right, now children, sit down, be still, and listen to the voice of God. Sometimes we come to the store, we need a little refreshment before we start listening. God knows that. The condition that I, you, and everybody walk through the store, we need to have some. God needs to calm us down. God needs to work with us. That's why the prophet said, come at least a half hour. Sit down, read your Bible. Because you need to be, you know, a human beings. And, you know, tired working all day long and everything that went on. We need to come and we need to dump our minds and pick up the mind of God. And then we start singing. And then time of refreshment comes. And we enjoy. Now we sit down and we're ready to listen to what Papa had to say. That wasn't the whole service. That was just the preliminary service. The main event is coming. That was not the main event. That was a good time, refreshing time. But wait, be still. The main event is coming. God is going to speak. He's the speaker tonight. The Holy Ghost. It's not Eli. It's not nobody. It's the Holy Ghost. Some people ask, well, who's going to preach tonight? Because they want to know if they're going to come or not. So when they ask me, who's preaching? I said, the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the preacher. It's not me. He's the one that gave me the gift. A couple of more. I said that before, but what? It says, unchangeable God working. Are you with me? Okay. What we ought to do is listen way down deep in our hearts. till we hear the voice of God. Then walk out on it. Move forward. Believe that it's true. Yes, sir. And then he says, Abraham, covenant. The first thing you know, a still small voice through a sermon. Okay, now you have the prophet saying what I was telling you, through the preaching of the gospel, through the reading of the word. Sometimes you're home, you're reading your Bible, and God speaks to you. And you read that scripture 100 times, and next time you read it, you say, wow, I never saw that. God is speaking to you through the word. God speaks to you through the sermons. How God speaks to you, he says over here, sermon through reading your word, through the prayers of someone, somewhere. So when you pray, you're talking to God, you're communicating. And God, if you be still and shut your lips a little longer, God will speak to you. See? Sometimes we pray and we go from the first to second and third pool. We don't even give God a chance to speak back to us. Yeah, go ahead and do whatever you're going to do. Make all the excuses. Tell God this is what happened because this is it. And go ahead and go to the first and second. And then, and listen. Because God is going to talk to you. See? The first thing you know, still a small boy, to the reading, to the word, through the prayer, to the preaching, I am your healer. Somebody needs healing tonight. He's going to hear a word from the Lord. Somebody needs something tonight. I don't know what you have need. I don't have any idea. And I'm glad I'm done because I have enough with mine. I don't need to worry about you too. I have a hard time worrying about myself. You know, I have a hard time with my own spirit and my own demon that come and torment me. See? That don't mean that they overcome. I overcome them. Satan is after you. He likes to sift you. Don't tell me that you know that your life out there every day is peachy. Because life is a war. It's not a picnic. As soon as you finish here, Satan's going to meet you out there to make your life impossible, to frustrate you, to disillusion you. Hey, I heard they pray for you. How are you feeling? You just Satan. We don't go by feeling anyway. I feel great. Because we don't go by feelings. We go by the word of God. What he says is what it is. Then the Bible says here, I think, that what we have done today, we have had fire, blood, smoke, you know, we have all those things. You know, Brother Branham was the greatest revival that we had had. Smoke and rushing wind, we have listened to much. To rushing mighty winds, till I wonder if we haven't refused, we have closed our eyes, our ears, our hearts, to hear that still small voice. We're still seeking what's next. Who's preaching? Oh, I like him. What's next? Oh, they have a revival in such a place, in such a... Oh, okay. Then again, back again to the same... What's, nothing changed. What's next? What's next? And here we go like the birds, you know. Birds, you see them when it starts turning cold. Hey, guys, south. And every time somebody tells you a revival, south. Here we go with the crowd, following the crowd. The only one you need to follow is God. Ask God. Ask God. What is the will for you in everything? I'm not saying that it's not good to have friends and visit, you know, churches. That's not what I said. But make sure you have the right attitude about it. That you have prayed, and that's what God wants you to do. Now that's the will of God. I was listening to this jury. There was it was about women's preacher in this Episcopalian. Yes, they were. She wanted to be a preacher. But they denied her from the seminary because she didn't meet the qualification. And she said, I do. Well, the qualification was you are not to be married. She said, oh, I'm not married. And not having any, you know, fornication, adultery with another man, with a wife. She says, no, I'm virgin, I'm pure. The next one, and you need to love the church, the faith, and you must believe. Yes. And the last one is, you know, you have to be a man. That was the fourth qualification. And she said, why? So she took him to court. He took the Catholic Church to court because they was discriminating, according to her, against her, because she was not a man. So they tried to hear the case, and the case was, well, listen to me, never happened in the Bible. There was Jesus, there were 12 disciples, the ministry, even in the Old Testament, they had never been. And they said, well, yeah, but that was an old tradition. I said, it's still until today. We believe that. That didn't call women to preach. Never commissioned a woman to preach. It's not in the Bible. But she says, it doesn't matter. That was the Old Testament. You know? And I got my rights. Yes, you have rights. So finally, this is what happened. I need to finish. I got one more quote. And this is what happened. I'm looking at this, and they don't have no knowledge of the Word of God. Because if she would have read this Bible that she says she reads, because the Catholic Bible is not different, a few things added there, and you know, but the New Testament is just about all the same. That if she would have read the Bible, because they asked the preacher and her, do you think there's any place in the Bible that says that a woman can? But he said, no, not even the priest knew what that was at. I was kind of, wow, they don't have no understanding. You know, they're blind to the truth. Because if they knew the truth, the will of God is that a woman should not absorb, you know, any authority over a man. But that's one. See, God never. And if you want to go to the beginning, you know, it was Eve. That was in the transgression. It wasn't Adam. It was her. Yes, it was. She was begotten, but that's why she cannot handle the word anymore. Because she fell. But that's what God said. That's not what I'm saying. So if they wanted to have enough reason for her not to, there is enough reason in the Bible. But they are blind to the truth. And today, even worse, it's getting worse out there. Homosexual, anything. You know, I'm not against that. It's just that my Bible says, and I believe that. So let me finish this last two I got. I don't know your opinion. And I don't know your opinion and your opinions. Each follow his own opinion. We all have an opinion. It's just like dime a dozen. You know, and opinions are not wrong. They're just opinions. You know? Each fellow has his own opinion. But to me, this is when Christ comes. The sweet, humble feeling. To me, that is the still, small voice. See, if God will ever come to you, he will humble you. Oh, I talked to God last night and he told me this. And oh, my goodness. He will humble you. You know, it will not make you proud. It will not make you something. It will humble you. He says, to me, that is the still small voice that speaks a lot louder than the rushing wind, mighty wind. Honestly, in your heart, do you believe that is true? Certainly it is. Your thought speaks louder than your words in heaven. That still voice, small voice, speaks louder than any mighty rushing wind. One more, and I'm done. Can you stand? Musicians, you can come. And brother, when you once said still enough, you know, that is the problem. We're too busy sometimes. We're too busy to come to church. We're too busy. We're too tired. We're too worried. We're too busy. But brother, I said, when you once said still enough to listen, she says, until you can hear the still small voice of Christ. If the different from, it is different from any message you ever heard in your life. You know, I don't care how many messages you know. I don't care how you know the Bible up and down. I don't know you memorize everything. But if you don't, never heard that small voice, see, it don't mean anything. See, because he says, it is different from any message you ever heard in your life. So it doesn't matter who preaches that here. I don't care if it's young, old, you know, wrongs, it's a fiery preacher. That's not the point. The point is that if you hear from God, that is the purpose. That's worth any message from anybody. We need to put our eyes in the right place, our attitudes in the right place. See, if you're different from any message you ever heard in your life, it brings peace. You know, usually if God is not there and it's our own thoughts, ideas, we struggle. When God is not in it, we struggle. Why? Because we're not stable.
Right.
You know, 1 minute we're here, 1 minute we believe this, 1 minute I want to do this, 1 minute I want to do that, and then we're in a struggle completely. Because Satan was had control, and you don't want to let it have control, but you don't want God to have control either. So you're in a struggle. What should I do? What should I do? He says, brother, when you once sit still enough to hear the storm, a different message, blah, 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 it brings peace. And it brings what? So if I ask you, how was church? You should tell me, I'm satisfied. If you're not satisfied, then something did not happen.
Right.
And I don't think God defrauded you and God took away from you. No. I think you didn't get something from God. If you come this far and sit here this long to hear me and you live empty, that's not my fault.
Right.
That's not our fault. You're going to get whatever you expect to get.
Yes.
But when God speaks to you, he humbled you. It brings peace to your situation. It brings satisfaction. He said, it does something to you that stirs your innermost being. You'll never be the same. A change happens. And you see this Christian and you say, whoa, what happened to you in that service? You look different. You will look different. He says, man cannot meet God and talk with God and ever remain the same.
That's good.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for allowing us this time of learning, teaching, this time to have fellowship around your word. Thank you for this opportunity, Father, to let all self be still for a moment, Father, from the cares of the world out there, Father. We want to come and dump the mind out there outside and come and sit down at your feet and be still. Father, thank you. Because still we have an opportunity in this sad time. They hasn't closed the churches yet. They will. But right now we have an opportunity that if we don't take advantage of it, it will never come back again. And then in that day, we will pray and cry out to the rocks and to the mountains. Just like that foolish virgin says, the rapture? I thought, can I have some of what you have? Oh, it's a little bit too late. But you can go ahead and go to church and cry out and do what I did. This is the time, this is the place, this is the opportunity to find God. This is the time to hear the voice of God. This is the time to get oil in our lamps. This is the time, not tomorrow, there's no tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow, and yesterday is gone. And today, it brings the cares of today. And that's enough for today. Tomorrow, I don't know if I die when I walk through the door. I don't know. All I know, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity that God has given me right this moment. So God can speak to my heart and I can move one step forward. I don't want to leave this place the same way I did it. I want to live a little bit better. Father, thank you Because you promised that, Father. You promised us joy. You promised us peace. Father, like your prophet said, you promised, Father, that you will meet our needs, that you will take care of us, you will protect us, you will keep us. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you, Father, for the years that we've been together. Thank you for the harmony. Thank you, Father, for this body that comes together, united, Father. Father, the times are short, and you want to have preeminence in this body. I don't know what else everybody is doing, but I'm worrying about me and this body that you have put me in. Because I want to do my part. I want to do what you called me to do. Because if I don't do my part, the body will be hindered. Help me, dear God. Speak to me. Show me. Examine my heart. Tell me. I want to be right. Lord, I don't want someone to stumble for my foolish mistakes. It's not worth it. I don't want to make nobody stumble, Father. Help me. Help me to have a life, a walk, Father, that you will guide me and you will lead me into all good things. That is your word. Thank you again for this time. Thank you for you meeting us here. You promised you would, and you did. You meet us here. Now I ask you, bless your people, Lord. Father, keep them. Prosper them, and they shall prosper. Bless them. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you all these things. Amen. And amen. You pray for our brother Andy and our brother Doug. It should be, hopefully, brother Andy should be here Sunday. We just keep praying. But if it's not, you know, God has something planned. So I'm not worried who is the one that's going to step in. But it is God.
Amen.
He's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Continue praying for one another, for your church. And make sure that as we pray, we lift one another to the throne of God. We all have needs. We all have problems. And we need your help. We need your prayers. I need your prayers. You pray for me, I'm sure I'm going to pray for you. And even if you don't pray for me, I will pray for you. God bless you.